Welcome back to our lesson on Pope Francis and Rosmini. We are in the seventh lesson and we go ahead with the theme faith and reason and with the relationship between the two lights, the light of reason and the light of faith. We've seen the last time that in Pope Francis we talk about a real authenticity of reason, of the light of reason. And only if we recognize the light of reason in its real authenticity and originality, and therefore also in its absolute dimensions, we have a real positive basis for a dialogue also with non-believers. Every time being consciousness that this is an abstract form of talking about the absolute. This is a form, only an intellectualistic form about thematizing the absolute horizon of our knowledge. But it is not a real or a spiritual way of affirming the absolute. Christians affirm the absolute also in a real way, and in the real way they affirm a real transcendence, and therefore a real second light, this real second light in a more intellectualistic approach, which we analyzed in Fichte, we do not have. And so we said that in Fichte there is only one light, and then in a spiritual one, and the spiritual one, the spiritual approach, is the synthesis between the two lights. As Rosmini would say, the third form is always the synthesis between the first and the second, the real and the ideal. And now spiritual life as the synthesis between our intellect life and God as a real transcendence, God as a real transcendence, is the very, very realization of faith. Faith is a light, is the, as Rosmini says, the light not of ideal being, but of the real transcendence. But the real transcendence, where is it shining? Where is it brightening? It is shining and brightening in our intellect. It is the supernatural principle which is substituting the natural principle of knowledge. And this is not a rationalistic reduction, but this is the opening not of from one light to another light, because the two lights are not on the same level. We have not a widening simply of reason, as Pope Benedict often said. But we have, for instance, potentialization, which a new supernatural principle which is shining in us. Which is shining where in us, which is shining in the intellect. And so we have the synthesis between the intellect and the absolute real being, and this is now on the basis of spiritual, of real moral and spiritual life of every Christian. This is the real horizon, the real ontological metaphysical horizon which Rosmini is drawing with his Trinitary ontology, and which is then the theme of the Theosophia. And in this, to this Theosophia, to this Theosophy, we will turn afterwards. Now let's go more into the depth of some quotations in which Pope Francis is talking about the relationship between the two lights. And he's talking about it in two paragraphs of Lumen Fidei, the second and the third. And we said that Pope Francis is fully affirming all what is stated in the Lumen Fidei, and that he is radicalizing even some aspects of it. And we read in the second chapter, "Yet in speaking of the light of faith, we can almost hear the objections of many of our contemporaries. In modernity, that light might have been considered sufficient for societies of old, but was felt to be of no use for new times. For a humanity come of age, proud of its rationality and anxious to explore the future in novel ways. Faith thus appeared to some as an illusory right, preventing mankind from boldly setting out in quest of knowledge. Belief would be incompatible with seeking." So, the modern idea that faith is darkness, as we have seen the last time in the letter to Scalfari, and that it is an illusory right. Then we read in the next paragraph, in the process, faith came to be associated with darkness. There were those who tried to save faith by making room for it alongside the light of reason. Faith became darkness. And we see that this metaphors, no? That these elements of the Lumen Fidei are perfectly reformulated, are perfectly used in the letter of Pope Francis to non-believers. So Pope Francis is actively underlining and actively affirming the affirmations of Lumen Fidei. And then we have this element. There were those who tried to save faith by making room for it alongside the light of reason. Who were they? And perhaps Benedict the 16th is thinking about Kant. He often quoted Kant when Kant was saying, let's put limits. Let's put limits to reason. Let's cancel reason to make space for faith. To make room for faith. Let's make room for faith alongside of reason. Let's take reason away to have room for faith. This is, in a certain sense, a dialectic between faith and reason, which is not the dialectic of Pope Francis. And indeed, here it is quoted as the false technique of modernity. And also for Benedict the 16th, it is a false technique. We have to renounce to reason to have the possibility to have faith. But this is neither the intention of Kant. When Kant said, let's take away reason to have space for faith, he wanted to assign to faith its right place, its right place. He wanted to come to a right definition of relationship, not to a definition of non-relationship. If I say we have to take away reason to have faith, I affirm a non-relationship. I say there is no relationship because I have to take away the one to have the other. This is not the intention of Kant, and neither of Benedict and neither of Francis. But this interpretation of Benedict, which he often pronounced, it's a misunderstanding of Kant. Because Kant wanted not to take away reason. Kant wanted to bring reason to itself. Kant wanted to define that what reason can do. Wanted to define the knowledges that reason, responsibility can have. They wanted to define these knowledges that de jure, that with reason can have. And this is another thing. This means to take away reason in a certain sense. From what? From affirmations that reason cannot do. And what are the affirmations reason cannot do for Kant? And let's talk about theoretical reason, because in the practical reason things are a little bit changing. What are the things reason cannot do, its affirmations? That are the objects of the classical special ontology of soul, world, liberty, and God. Of soul, world, liberty, and God. These are objects, said Kant, which are no objects. They are regulative ideas. We cannot have a positive knowledge about them, of God. We cannot have a positive knowledge. We have to postulate him in order to be able to be moral, in order to be able to have a moral life, in order to be able to have a rational life, a responsible life. But we cannot demonstrate theoretically the existence of God, because God in its existence is above of all that rationally we can affirm. So God is not negated. Reason is not negated in order to God. No, reason is not negated in order to God. It is only underlined what reasonably can be affirmed by reason. And by theoretical and practical reason, it can be affirmed that God has to be postulated, but that God cannot be theoretically demonstrated. That, in a certain sense, when we deal about the regulative ideas, we have, in a certain sense, the exigency. We have, in a certain sense, the exigency of reason to have a relationship, to have, in a certain sense, a dimension which is the dimension of the absolute, but we cannot define it. And this will become then more and more in the idealistic thinking the absolute horizon. The absolute horizon which we cannot affirm. And this is now the original place, the original room for faith. This is meant when Kant is saying we have to to cancel reason to have room for faith, to make room alongside the light of reason. And now Benedict XVI is saying, but this dimension is not a dimension that can be accepted by Christianity. It can't be accepted by Christianity. Why? Not because of the problem of reason. Not because of the problem of reason. Because of the problem of the transcendence. Christianity has to affirm real transcendence, not only a regulative principle, not only a horizon. Because these are, although in their absoluteness, immanent reasons. Immanent principles of reason. Christianity has to affirm a second light, a light which is the absolute being above all what Christianity is defining contingency. And therefore we cannot define only faith alongside the light of reason. Here we have only light of reason, and faith is alongside. No, faith is a light in itself. And we have to define, in a certain sense, the relationship. If faith it is based on the absolute transcendence being, if faith is the light which we have in us from the absolute transcendent being, then we have to find a determination of relationship, but not in this sense, then to affirm, we can say formally an absolute substance, and the absolute substance is in a formal relationship to the substances we are seeing here. This would be a Thomistic determination of relationship. No, it is determined in terms of faith, in terms of the relationship to the subject. And in the relationship to the subject, the absolute becomes relevant for reason. In the relationship to the subject, the absolute is being put through faith in a relationship to reason. The absolute is existing in itself. No one is relativizing the absolute. No one is liquidizing the absolute. No. But it can be put into relationship to reason only if the absolute is affirmed in faith. Only if it is affirmed in the way of light. And therefore we have now the possibility to determine two lights. Such room, says Francis, would open up wherever the light of reason could not penetrate, wherever certainty was no longer possible. This is always the modern determination of relationship. Faith was just understood in modernity either as a leap in the dark to be taken in the absence of light, driven by blind emotion, or as a subjective light capable perhaps of warming the heart and bringing personal consolation, but not something which could be proposed to others as an objective and shared light which points the way. So it was not affirmed as the real absolute, as a personal absolute reality of transcendence. Now, beyond that, what we already said, and I think we can say it in the context of the affirmations of Pope Francis, we have in Rosmini, first of all, in its introduction onto his work, A New Essay Concerning the Origin of Ideas, a theoretical determination of relationship between the two lights, which is theoreticalizing the relationship between both in a Christian sense, and not only rationalizing this relationship. And therefore, I think reading Rosmini is a help, is a systematic help to go more into the depth of the affirmation of Pope Francis. And we read in the paragraph 7 of A New Essay Concerning in the Origin of Ideas, and we are in the introduction, as I said before, we read, "The aim of the present work is therefore to trace back as far as possible the source of truth within us, where the springs of the river of life are to be found." We go on the path of reason, on the path of knowledge, back and back and back and back, until to have its sources. So it is the way of reason. It is not the way of faith. This is the way of reason. "And derive from this primary source all human knowledge and certainty." So we go back on the way of reason. Reason is not only the rationality which is affirming epistemological contents. No. This is a little bit the idea that Benedict XVI has. But we bring the knowledge to its own sources. And its own sources we don't find in faith. We find them in the absolute definition, in the absolute dimension of knowledge itself, in the absolute knowledge. "In the process," says Rosmini, "we discover a single seed from which grows true philosophy, the philosophy essential to mankind's needs. This philosophy exhibits the twin characteristics of unity and totality." So absolute knowledge for Rosmini is knowledge characterized by unity and totality. Unity because it contains all epistemological knowledge. And totality, because it is the total dimension, it's the intensive dimension. There is not only a dimension of putting together all our knowledges, no. It is also an intensive dimension. The absolute dimension of knowledge is not only the sum of all knowledges. It is also present in every single knowledge. The absolute is absolute only if it is present as absolute in every single knowledge. Our every single knowledge is a superficial knowledge if it is material knowledge, if it is information. But it is absolute knowledge if it is knowledge in the depth, if it is knowledge in the totality, because it is seen from the very beginning of the sources of all our knowledge, of the horizon, as I said before. "Characteristics which I had elsewhere detected in philosophy. Unity," said Rosmini, "endows our cognitions with consistency and harmony." Unity gives consistency and harmony. So there are no contradictions between the singular knowledges. consistency and harmony. Totality provides the immense pasture for which the human spirit longs and without which it cannot function. The absolute dimension, the dimension of horizon. So Koreans, harmony and absolute horizon and the dimension of absolute being present in every single element. And Rosmini says, the first truth, the form of reason, is of itself unique and extremely simple, and inevitably bestows the most perfect unity upon all knowledge derived from it. All knowledge is derived from this truth, which inevitably embraces all that is. This truth is the source of immense fecundity and the subject of philosophy characterized by totality. So the first truth we read, the form of reason, is unique, extremely simple. So we have a formal foundation of reason, a formal foundation of reason in its absoluteness, which is not, therefore, the absolute foundation of all. It is the formal dimension, the formal foundation of reason. And then Rosmini goes on, I also affirmed previously my belief that this is the theory underlying the gospel. Rosmini said, no, in the new essay concerning original ideas, in this theory of how our knowledge is made, in this gnoseology, in this theory of knowledge, we see a theory underlying the gospel. Rosmini did not say it about a spiritual work or the theosophy, a metaphysical work. No, he is saying that of his work of knowledge, on knowledge. In his work on knowledge, he affirms a theory of which he is convinced it is the theory underlying the gospel. Also here we have this element we found in the last lesson in the work of Fichte. And Rosmini said, and therefore the philosophy of Christianity, it is, Rosmini is doing nothing else but the philosophy of Christianity. It is no surprise that the divine philosophy intended for humans should have its roots in human nature and correspond to the fundamental laws of the nature through which it is mediated. Indeed, I truly would not know where to find any teaching other than Christianity that combines in itself the most perfect unity with the most complete totality. Because of the possibility that this philosophy is combining unity with totality, because of this possibility, Rosmini states that we deal with philosophy of Christianity. Because we have a philosophy which is formally without any contradictions, because it's formally harmonious, as we say, so. And not only that, which is only affirming the absolute root, the absolute horizon of all human knowledge, the absolute dimension of knowledge, this largest dimension of faith, we defined it. Therefore, we have, in a philosophical sense, a theory of Christianity included in the gospel that Rosmini pretended to formulate with this work, a new essay concerning the origin of ideas. And he said then, however, this truth, the principle underpinning the whole of Christianity, of which Scripture speaks, and by whose word we are brought forth, as Scripture says, is not merely the natural right of the mind, the initial truth, but truth in its absolute fullness. So, above the only formal dimension of all our knowledges, above all the only initial truth, above all the truth which is only abstract, which is only word, we have truth in its absolute fullness. And Rosmini said, in its first subsistent truth. There, in his gnosiological work, in his work of knowledge, he is affirming above the first element, the a priori element, the absolute element of our knowledge, we have another absolute, we have a real absolute, we have the absolute of the first subsistent truth. This, it is not a cold idea, this is not a cold idea of ours, but all-powerful strength, the very word of God. If I used before the word word for characterizing our normal knowledges, then I used word in a larger sense. Rosmini here does not want to use word in a largest sense, but he now in the second time he is writing word not only with minusculas but with capital letters, and in its capital letters word is affirming the reality of God, the absolute of God, the absolute knowledge, which is not the absolute dimension, the absolute horizon of our rational knowledge, but which is in the same time the real being of God. It is a real being. So what to us is only an abstract horizon, what is only an abstract light of being, what is the first light of being, in itself, not beyond, in itself it is reality of God. Rosmini in the new essay concerning the ideas called the light of reason the divine in human being. So we have not the fact that we have on the one side the reason and on the other side the absolute. If the divine in us, if the divine in human being is the idea of being, the intuition of idea of being, and this is the absolute dimension of every knowledge, this idea in itself, with reality, not only abstract, but with reality in itself, it is the divine being of God. And so we have really a structure which is very, very close to some intuitions we find in Fichte. The absolute knowledge as an image of God, the idea of being as an abstraction of God, as the cold idea of which the word of God is the real being of God. Rosmini said then in the 13th paragraph, the single principle of Christianity is truth, and truth is also the principle of philosophy. We don't have two principles which are divided the one from the other Thomistically, no? The Thomistic approach said here is reason, here is faith, here is the one principle, here is the other principle, here is the knowledge, and here is the absolute being of God. We cannot divide these two realities. Because if we divide the two realities, would say Pope Francis, we don't have any possibility today for any dialogue. Only if we say that reason is also defined in its absolute dimension, that reason has elements of absoluteness, because it is the divine in human being, Not reason in its material knowledges, but reason in its formal a priori, reason in its very objective, in its real a priori, which is the divine in human being, which is then in itself the positive absolute reality of God. And this is not immanentism, because the positive absolute reality of God is transcendent, is radically above of all. But on the other hand, the absolute dimension of knowledge is not fully divided. We have the absolute, which we can never affirm. We have every time only an image of it in the idea of being. We only have an idea. We don't have the word. We don't have word of God. We have the idea. No, we read in Rosmini. But. We can affirm its greatness only if we recognize it in the tiniest, contained in the tiniest. And what other this theory of knowledge of Rosmini is, but the realization of which affirmed Pope Francis with this saying of St. Ignatius. And we know that Rosmini was very devoted to St. Ignatius. The absolute is not to be limited by the greatest. It is not the absolute idea. It's the real absolute being, which we can never see. It is not limited by nothing greatest we have in this world. And for Rosmini, the greatest we have in this world is the idea of being. And yet to be contained in the tiniest. The idea of being is the key of knowledge of everything we can know, of the reason of all. It is contained in the tiniest. This is the divine, said St. Ignatius. And Rosmini said, this is the divine. This is the philosophy of this is the divine, the divine of God, the spiritual divine, not which affirmed St. Ignatius. And this is also, as Rosmini affirmed now, in the new essay concerning the origin of ideas, this is the philosophy of Christianity. Thank you very much for the attention.